What's going on, guys? It is episode 19, the Golden Tate episode, week 16 here on the Fantasy Process Report, Fantasy Championship Week. As always, Matt and Nick in Philadelphia, Jason in Miami, here with a interesting sort of fantasy podcast show today.
Yes, obviously we're getting to the end of the season, so there's not many fantasy implications to be talked about that are really relevant. So I'd say for the next episode, I don't know how frequently we'll be doing these podcast episodes in the off season, but
I think we do it weekly through the playoffs.
Through the playoffs, I think we will continue off season.
I would imagine probably about a once a month. Probably sounds like a
probably, but either way, point is from here on out, we will probably be focusing more on football.
In general,
yeah. So, as opposed to fantasy, obviously we are extreme diehard football fans.
And we'll keep going, because there are the select two of you in each and every league that are currently still alive in the championship, and we wish you fantastic luck going forward. But to the rest of the league, who are now sitting at home, cursing the fact that they aren't winning their money back, you can still join in on the fun this week. And going forward.
So, when I first got Ghost...
Ghost is Nick's dog.
Ghost is my dog. He cried for, like, the entire first week that we had him. So I'm just curious, how's your pit bull doing?
Oh, God. How long have you been saving that one?
Like an hour, maybe.
Wow.
I would have guessed at least a couple days.
Wow.
Was he going off yelling Dale from your nights?
No, I switched it off.
I don't know. I feel like he should be on.
Yeah, you got to save the batteries.
Just in case somebody sees it and wants to, like, you know.
Oh, that is sad.
Hear what he has to say.
God, that stung deep.
I keep getting you, like, when you don't expect it. Last week I got you with a present.
Man. Oh, yeah, Matt, you did not see that coming
at
all.
No, I didn't. I thought you were just being nice. Anyway.
What are you going to learn, man? I'm not nice.
Anyway, if you missed the last couple episodes, the Pitbull was our league's last place trophy. Unfortunately, it is mine until next December.
About 360 days, almost.
I don't know. With how big you signed Hungy over the top of his head, it makes it seem like you're kind of claiming dibs on it for the next couple years.
He's also making up for past claims to the title.
I guess so.
It's rough.
But
past
anyway...
This is only the second time that I've been awarded this fantastic
prize. Past claim, singular, whatever. Claim. Anyway,
You're also a two-time Pitbull winner.
No, I'm a two-time appearance, only one-time winner, I thought.
No, we are tied right now for most in the league.
Well,
I will pull up the evidence.
You know what people care about more than last place? First place. And I have gotten through to the final championship in our league.
That is true.
I have made it. I am going against, unfortunately, Jason is not the opponent who I will be going against. I was really hoping that you could have pulled out the win, Jason.
Yeah, well, here's how you can blame the Eagles for all this. Because if Jared Goff had just gotten 10 more points, then I would be in the championship round. But Jared Goff could not defeat the mighty Eagles secondary this weekend.
Yes.
And he finished with a measly 10. So, yeah, you can blame the Eagles for that one, Nick.
Yeah, and I really... Pete even had a shitty week. He was without James Conner. He was without Melvin Gordon. He's going to have both those guys
back.
Everything
that I needed to happen, happened. Like, the Patriots and Steelers had a super low-scoring game, which meant Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown, and Tom Brady all had really slow weeks. I mean, it was all the factors that I needed to happen to have a chance this week. They all happened. My guys just couldn't catch up. Josh Gordon had nothing. Jared Goff finished with 10. Joe Mixon was the only one who really did anything. George Kittle followed up a monstrous game last week with kind of like a meh game this week. So, yeah, it was just kind of I fell into the scenario where everything I needed to happen to have a chance happened. I just, you know, didn't pull it out.
Yeah, you had some pretty mediocre performances from guys who have been very good for you most of the year. So that didn't really help you out. You lost 85.6 to 95.5. Meanwhile, I played your brother in the other half, and I whooped his butt. 116.4 to 82.7. Keenan Allen put up a goose egg for me, and the rest of my team still showed up, so that was good. I hope that these guys can bring it next week, because they're going to have to against Pete's stacked roster with a couple guys coming back from injury. I'm hoping best-case scenario is that the guys that are coming back from injury aren't completely healthy. So, like I said...
Yeah, that's something to watch for there.
He's got James Conner and Melvin Gordon. He's not going to be playing both of them because he also has McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott. So he can only play one of those other two guys, but I'm hoping, again, that a lingering injury might limit their snap count. But you never know.
Isn't it wild to think at the beginning of the year, there was a substantial period where Pete had Christian McCaffrey on his bench?
Yeah, no.
Isn't that insane?
It was crazy. I think we knew, like, pretty quickly. It only took till about, like, week three, and everybody was like, wow, how did he get these running backs?
Yeah, I mean, he was quick on the trigger for Connor as soon as the Bell news started breaking.
Well, did he draft him?
Yeah, I think it was... Or was he undrafted? He was undrafted, so he just picked him up. Pete was just the quickest trigger to pick up James Connor. I think he kept Melvin Gordon.
It could have been me. I looked at him on the way...
It was just good drafting of Zeke and McCaffrey there, too. But yeah, it was stellar work on just all fronts by Mr. Pete over there.
So yeah, going back to my original point, it doesn't really matter how many last place finishes you have if you have won it, and I have already won it.
Okay.
And I'm looking like I've got a chance to win it a second time.
I won it before we were on ESPN, or before they started...
I don't think we were ever not on
ESPN. Before they started keeping the stats year to year.
You're right, they didn't always keep the
stats. I won it back
in
the day.
That's true. Yeah, I had one, too. I found I don't even remember it.
Kids
I guess
high school.
It was from high school.
Yeah! But I won!
None of us knew what we were doing. That was, like, when fantasy, like, first got big.
No, I've been playing fantasy football since I was, like, sixth grade. I know that.
Matt, there was one year where you traded me the first overall pick in Chris Johnson for a guy that I picked up off the waiver wire in Michael Vick. I vividly remember that.
Yeah, Vic was going off that year. I wanted Vic.
Still. That was probably when we like first started dabbling with trading draft picks.
Look, your boy wanted Mike Vic. It worked out. All right.
I mean, I think in your defense, I don't remember Johnson particularly tearing it up either. But still, I just remember that because I already had Aaron Rodgers on my team. So I was like, well, I'm not going to play Michael Vic anyway, so... See what I can get for him.
Before we get into this week's matchups, I just quickly wanted to make a note of my other league. I don't know if you remember last week, but I was in the semifinals for three leagues, and I made it through
on
all three
good
leagues.
At fantasy?
Three out of four leagues this year. I'm in the championship. But one of them was quite a scare. I had very high hopes to win going into the Monday night game. I had Cam Newton and Michael Thomas down by 15 points. I needed 15 points from Michael Thomas and Cam Newton. They combined and got 15 points. So I tied the guy. This is 1 point. This is not decimal point scoring, so ties happen. We tied. It came down to bench points from there. And I narrowly won that one, 68-64.
This is why it's a good idea, if you're a league commissioner, to include decimal points in the scoring.
You're very
Nobody
right.
wants a tie.
And you know why he lost the bench points? Because he had Spencer Ware and Melvin Gordon, who both got 0 points and didn't play that week.
It's rough.
So,
wow.
I narrowly got that win.
Yeah, that's why decimal points actually matter. If more leagues did that, it would... certainly help some teams.
You avoid ties, and the problem is with ESPN in particular, they only give you four options for a tiebreaker. It's bench points, quarterback points, running back points, or wide receiver points. Or the other one is home team. Whoever ESPN assigns to be
the
home team.
Random assigned home field advantage, which you can actually give yourself a home field advantage handicap in your league setup.
Right, but
I found that out.
That's stupid.
That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Now, so bench points out of those things really, to me, it's the only thing that really like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it proves how solid your whole team is.
But the point is, that's still stupid. That's still a stupid tiebreaker.
Honestly, like. But if you select that as the tiebreaker and they don't have decimal points,
mm-hmm.
you select that as the tiebreaker, what if your benches are tied in the playoffs? Now, in
that's right.
In the regular season, I would imagine they'd probably just rule it as a tie.
I think it might go to the home team. It might go on.
That would be the worst way to decide that.
I tweeted at ESPN Fantasy Football account. I said, I showed them my matchup and said, what if our benches had been tied? Crickets, but.
Yeah, you don't expect ESPN to reply.
I know, but still, it was just a very interesting scenario that I thought about, too. I was curious what the answer was.
Honestly, what I said to you applies. I think probably the app would destroy your phone. I think your phone would be no good. There's been so many issues with that app before. I think it literally just
this year. It's just like it has picked random times to just like crap out for different periods of time. Well, one day it was like the entire day.
Yeah, it was the 1 year. It was week one.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, first Sunday of the season.
Yeah,
and the app was just down, and it was like the world ended for.
I think it was for like the entire 1 o'clock games.
It was. Yeah, it didn't come back on until like midway through the 4 o'clock.
Yeah, the 4 o'clock games.
And everyone's like, oh my god, who's winning? It's week one.
But yeah, so.
But it is not week one anymore. It's week 16.
Championship week. We are.
So, probably the best thing to do is to talk about week 15 and what it matters for week 16.
Yeah, because this time of the year, you know, we're getting to that point where momentum is very big going into the playoffs. And who is doing well at this point in the season is very important. Because, you know. Teams could do great for the first 6 weeks of the season, but at this point they could look terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so they could be in the playoffs. Carolina Panthers.
I think the game we should start with is probably the last Thursday night game of the season, which was the Chargers and Chiefs, who, wow.
Yeah, this was a big game.
It was a huge game. I mean, what? The
not only for fantasy, but like for in terms of the one seed in the AFC.
I was gonna say the Chiefs had what, a 14-point lead? They blew a 14-point lead.
Is that yeah, with like 4.5 minutes left to go.
Yeah,
too.
They blew the Chiefs blew a 14-point lead to the Chargers, who incredibly enough, after driving down the field. Decide to go for the win and not send it to overtime.
Dude,
go
how
for two,
ballsy is that?
Gets
just
it.
So amazing. So amazing.
Such a great call.
Honestly, it's like I was sitting there like freaking out because I'm a guy who I've got in one of my teams three Chiefs players. So if the Chiefs win that game, they've clinched the one seed in home field advantage. They're not going to be playing their guys. In week 16. We talked about that.
Yeah, the best thing that happened this week was the Juggernauts lost. The Patriots lost, the Chiefs lost, and the Rams lost. That was the greatest thing that happened in fantasy
this week. And the Chargers and the Bears won. It's not just that they
that
lost,
means...
it's the fact that the Chargers and the Bears also both won.
Oh, yeah. But. And I think it doesn't even preclude week 17 either, because I think a team like the Rams... You know, Sean McVay is this, you know, everyone says he's the offensive genius and stuff, and they've been kind of stumbling the past couple of weeks. So I think he's honestly probably taking it as a challenge. Like, I want to get back out there and score a shit ton of points and prove that we are the best offense and we can roll this into the playoffs and not just kind of, like, stumble in and lose in the first round.
Speaking
so I think
it
helps guys like Gurley and Cooks and Goff and obviously Mahomes, Tyreek Hill has kind of been banged up. And I think if the Chiefs won this game, there'd be no more Tyreek Hill the rest of this year. They'd just be resting that heel, getting them ready to go for the playoffs.
So I needed the Chargers to
win
this
game.
Yeah,
them losing is good.
I needed the Chargers to win. So when they were going for that two-point conversion,
sure.
I was cursing them. I was like, man, you're going to lose this game on going for a ballsy two-point conversion.
But it's such a huge move because now the Chargers and Chiefs are both tied at 11-3. The Chargers have an opportunity to win the AFC West with one Chiefs loss if the Chargers win their next two. And the fact that the Chargers might host, if they can win the AFC West. Now, currently the Chiefs are leading because of the divisional record. But the Chargers they're tied 1-1 in the head-to-head. But if the Chargers manage to win the division, they're going to be hosting a home playoff game in the 30,000-seat soccer stadium. But the alternative is, at some point, they might have to go into Arrowhead, would be significantly
worse. It's more like the lesser of two evils. Like, playing at their home stadium is not optimal. I think they would prefer San Diego, but yeah, playing at their home stadium, they might get invaded by an opposing fan base, but it sure as hell beats going into Arrowhead or Foxborough or anywhere that they might go, even Houston, hell.
Yeah, I will say they did just win that game in Kansas City, but your point is still right.
This might be the first time we see the Patriots playing on Wild Card Weekend in, I believe the number's like 6 years.
I hope they do. I hate them.
You
guys got me to root for you in that Super Bowl. That's how much I hate that.
Well, it's one of those things you wanted the NFC East to be dominant against New England in the Super Bowl, even though we're 1-1 against them. But
no, I mean, I just, they're cheaters. I hate them.
Oh, they're terrible, and their fan base is just Boston fans in general.
But yeah, back to the advantage of the home field. I mean, it's very interesting the fact that a team can be so good like the Chiefs, even record-wise, and still end up at the 5 seed and not get a home game all
playoffs. Yeah, one of those teams, they're both 11-3, one of those teams is not going to host a playoff game.
I mean, it happens every year. Unless, a wild card team has a better record than the home team.
Well, it's going to be one of those things. A wild card team is going to have a better record than the rest of the playoff field.
That is what's unusual, yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that since I think it was the NFC West, like a while ago, before the Seahawks were the dynasty. I think something like the Rams made the playoffs at like 7-9. And then there were teams in the playoffs that were like,
it was Seattle.
You know, 11
Seattle
and,
made the playoffs at 7-9.
Yeah, that's what it was. They were like 7-9, and it was like, how does this NFC West division even exist?
But it's going to be one of those things. One of those two teams is going to make the playoffs with a better record than the rest of the AFC, other than the team that has the 1 seed, and they're not going to host a playoff game. Unless they're playing the 6th seed in the AFC Championship game. That's the only scenario where they'd get one.
Mm.
Which right now the 6th seed in the AFC, if you straight up look at it, is as it loads right now, the 6th seed is Baltimore, but could be still if Indy, Tennessee,
guess who Baltimore plays this week.
Indy, Tennessee, and Miami still have shots to get there.
Guess who Baltimore plays this week?
Who's Baltimore play this week?
Chargers.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. They might be trying to limit Philip over there.
We'll see, man.
Oh, that's going to be a huge game.
They got to be playing full.
Oh, look,
out.
You have it written later in our script. We'll talk about
it. We will get more into that one when we get into next week's
But an
games,
absolutely but. Phenomenal ending to probably the best Thursday night football game we have had in probably the last 5 years.
It was a great game. They've not had great games, too. So.
No, they haven't. That's what I mean. It was probably the best Thursday night football game we've seen in the last 5 years.
They got a good matchup, is what it was. And so, obviously, that game is going to play out.
And we know it's done. We know it's gone. But that would have been a phenomenal color rush matchup. I'm just saying.
So, I have a question for you guys. Which team do you think is better? Chiefs or Chargers?
On paper,
I would say the Chargers.
Really?
Yeah.
So I
just because I think the Chargers have the defense. Like, they have good defensive players. They have Casey Hayward. They have Joey Bosa. He's that X factor who just kind of got plopped in there in the middle of the season.
I'm with Jason.
Like, I think they were without Bosa for the first what was it, like 10 or 12 weeks or something, because he was dealing with an injury. And even in those 10 or 12 weeks. They were still an average, above average, good defense. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but that rookie safety who's just making every play and he's all over the field. But then, like, you have this above average defense and then just throwing in a defensive, like, Von Miller almost kind of pass rusher in there is almost unfair. Like, he's just destroying quarterbacks.
Not to mention the fact that their offense is very good. Like...
Yeah, exactly.
Aside
it's
from
very,
Melvin
it's
Gordon,
varied too.
They've got
I think
good players. They don't have like elite players, but they've got very good players. So they just they've got a good system.
They have a lot
place.
Of different players too. Like they have Mike Williams, who's like the kind of, if you're going to compare them, like the Julio Jones, and then they have Keenan Allen, who's the possession guy, and then they have Tyrell Williams, who's kind of like the Ted Ginn, who can just take the top off, and then you have old reliable Antonio Gates in there, and then you got a couple really good running backs with Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler, and then. Obviously, Phillip Rivers is just, he never makes mistakes, and he always is kind of sharp, and he knows the game very well. So I think they just have, they have good players, but they're all very different, and they all have very different skill sets and very useful skill sets within the offense they're trying to do. So it's easy to get a lot out of the guys that they have, which I think is different than other teams. Like, other teams might have good players, but if they're all kind of the same skill set, then it doesn't really do you much good, but... Yeah, I like the Chargers a lot.
You look like you were going to say the Chiefs.
I was going to say the Chiefs, and I think on paper the Chiefs have the better team. I think they have more weapons. Yes, the defense can be a liability on Kansas City, absolutely. But I think they have more offensive weapons, and I think they can win in a shootout. And if you look at the playoffs over the past couple years, the similarities are the teams that win in a shootout win the games. They are high-scoring affairs. Tom Brady threw for 505 yards in the Super Bowl last year and lost. That's like it's all about offense in the playoffs. Everybody loves to say defense wins championships. That's changed. It's all about offense production in the playoffs right now. And I think Kansas City has a better offense.
You must not have listened to last week's podcast because I talked extensively on... the defensive matchups playing against offensive teams.
Now,
where the defense came out on top.
What is going to kill Kansas City is what everyone is lauding them for, and that is Andy Reid. Andy Reid is going to kill that team with his clock management. When it does come a shootout, and it's late in the fourth quarter, and Mahomes gets the ball back in his hand, you can count on Andy Reid to mismanage the clock. I will tell you right now, Andy Reid is going to cost that team the win due to his piss-poor clock management skills. This is coming from a kid who, at 8 years old, watched Andy Reid piss away a Super Bowl in 2005. Oh, that fourth quarter was horrendous. It was horrendous. And I'm telling you, he's going to do the same thing now. You ask me whether I'm salty? You're goddamn right I'm salty.
Well, I'm going to go, and like I said before, I'm going to agree with Jason. I think that the Chargers are a better team, and they proved it this week. They just went into Kansas City and won without Melvin Gordon, their best player.
I think a lot of it, Anthony Lynn rolling the dice on the two-point conversion really is changing a lot of people's minds about that team.
I'm not talking about just that play, though.
I know you're not talking about just that play. I'm saying in the minds of people around the league,
having the
confidence in his team to go out and do that, I think it's changing a lot of opinions about the Chargers in a good way.
I think specifically for Anthony Lynn, you are correct that people kind of... He's been underrated. He's kind of gone under the radar this year.
That's true.
He hasn't really been, you know, that much talked about.
And now all of a sudden, he's up for Coach of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, kind of rightfully so, but we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely.
I do think you are right. I think that the Chiefs have the better offense. I think that they've got better players. Just across the board, they've got more elite stars than the Chargers do. But I, like Jason said, I think the defense makes the difference there. This was as close to a... shootout being held in check as you can ask for, really, from the Chiefs. That offense, 28 points, and they got 29, which is all it took to get the job done. So, on both sides of the ball, they did enough. Like I said, it was in Kansas City as well. So, I think the Chiefs will be a better team at home in the playoffs, though.
At home, absolutely.
So, I think that it is vital for them to keep that one seed. Otherwise,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think the downfall will not be Andy Reid. I think it will be playing away, not in their home stadium. So,
I mean, the other alternatives where they would be playing at would include Heinz Field, Foxborough, the soccer stadium, and what? Who am I missing here?
Houston.
Oh, yeah, NRG.
Or Indianapolis, too. They're making a push.
But yeah, they probably wouldn't play them if they were the 5 seed.
Nah,
well, probably. Indianapolis is not going to win that division. Well, if the Eagles beat Houston this week, they have a possibility. Anyway, well, we're not going to go there yet. Moving on to the rest of that week.
Yeah, let's move on to the next matchup here. We got
Bears eliminate the Packers from playoff contention and keep themselves alive in the...
Really took control. Control of the NFC North there.
They keep themselves alive in the race for the first round bye and home field advantage.
I think this was definitely a trap game for the Bears, and they came out and they got the job done. Aaron Rodgers has not really looked like the elite quarterback that we've known. I think it's partially because of the injury and partially just because the team is kind of out of it. And
I think a lot of it was Mike McCarthy, too. Like, I think I was talking earlier, Mike McCarthy just got so stale this year. They had no creativity with the offense. There were no good play calls, really. It didn't seem like they tried to get their guys in the best positions to succeed, if that makes sense. Like, it was almost like they were just running plays regardless of who was out there. Like, if Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones was out there, it was almost like they were running the same play and not catering to that player in the way that a lot of these other great coaches do. Like, you know, Andy Reid, he's obviously been a great coach this year with Mahomes having a possibly MVP year, but, like, you have a player like Tyreek Hill, and you cater your offense around the player, not necessarily just plugging players into the offense. I feel like that's how it should be now, and I guess Mike McCarthy was just way too slow adjusting to that trend now. So I think a lot of it was that, but yeah, they were just kind of slow all year. Maybe you could say it was the injury from week one in his knee that he couldn't move around much, but yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It is weird. I just saw about maybe a half hour or an hour ago the Pro Bowl rosters were announced, and I was actually surprised to see Rodgers made it.
I didn't think he really had a Pro Bowl roster. I have it saved ready to go.
Oh man, okay.
Yeah, I was a little... I mean, I love him. He's my football man crush, but I was a little...
he's your football man crush. He's your football man crush, but Packers Twitter has been the best thing I've seen all week. If you think the Eagles have had a quarterback issue with the fans, let me read you some of these tweets about Aaron Rodgers from Packers Nation.
Trade Rodgers.
At TMalecki15, trade Rodgers.
Period.
Yikes.
At 68 Circus... Ask Rodgers for his raise back. He's stunk it up all year long and has done zero to lead or try and be the leader of this team all year. If anything, Rodgers held this team back. Unpay the man. Hashtag motivate.
Unpay him.
At Greenwald
Ronald. These are the people who need to have their TV privileges taken away.
Playing football. Focus on your job. Enough commercials already. Holy fucking greed. Focus and practice every motherfucking day. That's practice. At ScottSally53. Get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They are anti-Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and the NFC is loving it.
Mm.
See, these are the kind of ignorant fans that just need to have their TV privileges taken away. Like, come on, people.
Well, everybody's got an opinion on Twitter. That's just...
Yeah, that's true.
That's what Twitter's for, having an opinion.
Whether they deserve it or not.
Anyway, Chicago keeps themselves alive in the race for a first-round bye.
Yeah, that's a... Quite a surprise there. Trubisky's pulling together some wins.
And the Rams' loss helps him even
more.
How
did the Giants beat them?
Yeah, really.
Giants beat the Texans, too. I don't know how the Giants got those two wins.
But, I mean, the Bears beat the Rams.
I'm a little concerned as a fantasy owner for the Packers in terms of some of the injuries that they've dealt with this past week. I guess Rodgers kind of aggravated his injury or something, or he got a new one?
Yeah, it was like a minor groin issue. And I guess if this injury had happened in, you know, week 8, he'd be a no question, 100% good to go, no ifs, ands, or buts. But I guess the fact that they're eliminated and the team is kind of struggling and they're in an interim head coach, like... A lot of people are saying, well, you know, maybe they just shut him down, and the team is kind of saying, like, no, we're not shutting him down, we're trying him out there, but it is something to monitor. You never know.
See, my concern is more, not in the league where I have Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback, because I have Andrew Luck as my backup quarterbacks, hopefully you have one on your roster already. My concern is more for the league where I have Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I'm in the championship in my work league too, and having Devontae Adams, he's been a guaranteed 20 points every week the whole year. I mean, he gets his 12 or 13 or 14 targets, and usually will either turn it into 100 yards or a touchdown or both. So it's, if he can't...
You still got to start him, though.
He doesn't have Rodgers. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I think you look at his track record, and look at last year. He made the Pro Bowl last year and had double-digit touchdowns, and Rodgers missed, like, 12 games.
Just sucks for it to happen, like, right now. Cause, like...
Yeah, true. But I think there is the consolation that if anyone can make up for subpar quarterback play, it is Adams, because he did it most of last year, too.
Yeah. Aaron Jones is also out, so Jamal Williams is a good add. If you need a running back, if you got one of the injured guys. He had a good week. I wouldn't normally say he's a good add, but he had a good past week when he was the lead guy. So with just lack of bodies, maybe he's the guy to get this week if you need a running back.
I was saying to someone recently, it feels like, and you guys can chime in, it feels like to me that there have been way more high-profile injuries at this time of year than in any other year almost combined. Like
to the running back position particularly, yeah.
Yeah, like Melvin Gordon missed a few games. James Conner missed a few games. Kareem Hunt, with his nonsense, missed a few games. Odell Beckham Jr.
All of their backups of the guys that you just mentioned are missing times, too.
Like, I've never seen a scenario where you could feasibly go on the waiver wire and pick up a Jalen Samuels and confidently put him in your starting lineup in the fantasy playoffs. I feel like I've never seen that scenario happen before.
I'm pretty sure.
So many high-profile guys are just out, and you're finding their backups, and that's, like, a good option.
I'm pretty sure I won two of my leagues this week just because I went and picked up Damian Williams from the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like that's never happened
before. And started him, of course. But yeah, that was vital, was that week 15 waiver wire pickup. And I think what really benefited me was that there's so many teams out of it. They're not even trying to pick teams up or players up on the waiver wire. So we fell to me.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So if you're in the playoffs, pay attention to that stuff, because teams that are eliminated, they're not paying attention. Or if they are, they don't care.
Yeah, the injury bug is coming out. Coming for the NFL there.
So, yeah. We'll move on to the next matchup we got from last week. The Indianapolis Colts
shut out the Dallas Cowboys. And boy, does it feel good to be an Eagles fan.
I like the meme with Stanley yelling that's from Holes.
Yelling for zero.
How many points did the Cowboys score this week?
Zero!
It's just Shia LaBeouf just yelling, zero!
Did you just call him Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, God. But yes, the game started with the Colts blocking a Cowboys field goal attempt, the Colts driving down the field and scoring, and then the Colts stuffing the Cowboys on fourth and goal. Cowboys couldn't get anything going whatsoever. They kept Zeke under 100 yards. Dak Prescott, 206 yards and an interception.
Rushing. He had over 100 all-purpose, but...
Under 100 yards rushing. Yeah, okay. Right. Kept them under 100 yards on the ground.
Right. But still. The Cowboys had zero. That's the important number.
Right. The Cowboys scored 0 points coming off the overtime victory over us. Which I think really shows that without Ezekiel Elliott rushing for 100 yards, Dak Prescott is completely exposed. And I think that is more obvious there than anything else.
He's just not a great passer.
No, he's not. He's not a great passer at all.
I think you can say with his rushing ability, he's a decent overall quarterback, but he's not a good thrower.
His rushing ability, he had no rushing yards on the day.
I think...
Yesterday, yeah. Or 2 days ago, yeah. But, I mean, overall, he's not a terrible running quarterback. I mean, that is one of his better qualities. But, yeah, he's just not a good thrower.
I think the way you just described him was how most people describe him as, he's good. He's good.
Decent. He's decent at best.
He's good. But you have to say that with, like, an inflection in your voice, like, he's not good.
He's not good.
And it's that thing where if you take away the running ability, he's definitely a bottom five starting quarterback in the league.
Now, what does this mean going forward for this? Now, it's huge.
I will say, I've been backing up the Cowboys the past few weeks, but I'm already off. Right. After that one game, I'm off them. I think that they're crap again.
they're garbage. Now, what does that mean for the Cowboys? It means not only did they not lock themselves a playoff spot, but how the other teams around them fell, it means that not only have they not locked themselves a playoff spot or the division, they can potentially miss the playoffs if they lose the next two, depending what the Eagles do.
Do you want to wait to talk about the NFC East playoff picture until we get to your matchup?
Yeah, I'm just saying this win is immensely important to the NFC playoff picture, to the Cowboys. It's to the point where
I think it's
not only is it bad for the division, but it's bad for them as far as missing the playoffs altogether.
Yeah, I think the worst part is not only the record and the numbers, but just their morale after a loss like that. Like, they got to... You saw Dak Prescott's post-game interview. He's like, we're pissed. Like, this sucks.
Amari Cooper, I think, is the biggest thing. That people were acting like he was the second coming of Jesus.
See, I don't think he's the second coming of Jesus, but I do still think that he is going to be a big part of their offense.
His longest catch on the day was 11 yards. He had 4 catches for 32 yards.
Okay, so Cowboys got 0 points.
Yeah, this is a guy who might have...
shitty day.
He might have killed a fantasy season or two.
Ezekiel Elliott, Cole Beasley, and Bryce Jarwin all had more receiving yards than him.
Bryce Jarwin.
Blake Jarwin.
Blake. Yeah. It's a frat boy. That's what it is.
Way.
It's a frat boy tight end.
Yeah, I mean, between Amari Cooper's week 12 against Washington, where he scored 8 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns, New Orleans the next week, 8 catches, 76 yards, and then obviously the Philadelphia week, 10 catches, 217 for 3 touchdowns, that probably catapulted a lot of people either into the playoffs or got them a playoff win or just kind of amplified their playoff wins or whatever. And he might have killed a few teams the other day this week with the showing against Indianapolis. 4 catches, 32 yards, finishing with 8.3 in a full point PPR here. So that might be something to look forward to. If somehow you manage to win in spite of his non-performance, do you guys consider starting him this week against Tampa Bay? Do you hope that he rights the ship and gets back to this hot streak that it looked
no.
like him and Dak were on?
No. No. The Cowboys are a dumb... Cooper.
Oh, Cooper? I have to start him in one of my championship teams because it's 3 wide receivers and it's a 12-man league. So, I mean, obviously in that situation you have to start him, but...
Yeah, true.
I mean, I'm still on him, at least
it's
as a
flex player.
It's
just one of those
player.
Things where, like, do you lose the faith after this dud of a week going on such a hot streak before?
You can't predict that they're going to put up 0 points 2 weeks in a row, and if they're putting up points, if they even put up 2 touchdowns, I'd like to believe that Cooper's going to have one of them, you know?
Well, yeah, Dak has certainly been looking his way. Say what you will about Dak, he definitely looks his way, and that attention is very valuable for a wide receiver.
Yeah, so I trust him going forward still. I trust him as a starter.
I would agree with you there, too.
I don't know if you really have him on your championship roster, but at the very least, I'd say he's a flex starter.
You guys can do what you want.
Yes, because we have teams, well, at least I do, teams in the championship, so I can
next
do
matchup.
What I need.
Yeah, I do too.
Next matchup.
There you go, Jason.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh holds on to beat New England 17-10 in Heinz Field, which is very interesting for the AFC playoff picture. Pittsburgh leads their division now, still beating out, still beating out Baltimore right now for the division. With the loss, Baltimore would have moved into first place in the division. But because the Steelers hold on to beat Tom Brady, they still lead that division. And it's huge because it brings the Patriots down. Like we said earlier, you might see the Patriots playing on Wild Card weekend for the first time. And I really think it's like 6 or 7 years.
I gotta say, I think that might be one of my favorite matchups to watch. Just like outside of my team, the Steelers versus the Patriots, I feel like, is always a good game.
It's always a good game. And 90% of the time when it's in, January, it tends to be in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
But
and those are 2 good quarterbacks in cold weather.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was in Heinz Field. It was loud. You could hear it on the TV. the towels were waving, and Brady couldn't get it going. And if you watched, Tom Brady moved the ball down the field in the last minute, gets it into the red zone, has four shots at the end zone, and overthrows all four passes. I don't know how I don't know how you overthrow Rob Gronkowski, but he did twice. And then he threw a jump ball to Edelman. Terrible decision. Edelman's like 2 feet shorter than everybody else in the field.
And he threw overthrew it every time. He's been overthrowing it. That's been like a major thing, is overthrowing it. And
he looked bad.
I don't understand why in that situation where you're like throwing, where you're trying, it's do or die. You know, if you don't get the completion, then it's over anyway. Why you would overthrow a pass like that? At least throw it just to the outside, like numbers level.
You gotta make it catchable.
It has to be catchable.
Like, the ball has to get caught.
Make the defender make a play.
If it gets intercepted, the game's over anyway. Knocked down, the game's over anyway. You gotta get it into the hands of the receiver.
It's just like...
which you would think Brady would know that, but, you know.
It's just like I say with hockey. You gotta get the shots on net. And a shot doesn't mean shit if it's behind the net and goalie doesn't even have to make the save. Same thing with football. Catchable, you know?
Or in basketball, the most baffling thing... the most frustrating thing with the Sixers, what they always used to do the past couple of years, was they would get down in a crunch situation. They'd have the ball down by, you know, one or two or something like that, 10, 15 seconds left, and they wouldn't even get a shot up. They would just, like, fumble it out of bounds or turn it over or get a foul or something like that.
Give yourself a chance.
And clock would expire, and they wouldn't even get the attempt.
Give yourself a chance, bottom line.
Yeah, just give yourself a chance.
Well,
one of the weird trends I've seen that is very impactful for fantasy with the Patriots as well is they just forgot that they have James White. Like, this guy, through the first 9-10 weeks of the season, let's see, up until week 9 against Green Bay, he had double-digit point totals in all of those games, and he was super involved in the passing game, getting, you know, a ton of targets every week. And then starting week 10 against Tennessee, when he finished with 5.1, he's had, like, nothing. And I've seen some stats, I don't have them in front of me, if his on-field snap rate has dwindled from like 90% down to like 38%. So I don't know what's happening with the New England. I mean, and Hunky, you might end up being right after all, but with the New England running backs.
Can't rely on them.
See, I think that
there was a period where Sony Michel and White were both producing a
lot.
You
guys
made
fun of me.
Sony Michel got injured.
Season long.
And here's James White. He was your fantasy, you know, sleeper stash late round pick who was a stud for you early on, and you're riding him to the playoffs, and now all of a sudden it's to the crunch time, and you can't trust him.
Yeah, I see. I think that the problem for that is that, A, Rex Burkhead came back, so that's just another body who they're going to use. So they're still using Cordarrelle Patterson.
He's not better than Sony Michel or James White. I don't understand why he's on the field.
And they're still giving Cordarrelle Patterson looks just because he did pretty well while Rex Burkhead was out.
Patterson had no touches in that game.
Yeah, he had some catches.
Oh, I'm sorry. He had 3 catches for 20 yards.
But that's my point, is that he's getting looks in the receiving game because he did well in the running game when he had to. But more importantly, Sony Michel is healthy now. He is back, and he is, like, fully healthy. So
he's
taking away a lot of the James White looks.
13 carries for 59 yards. It's not like he really performed.
Well, I think both teams were passing. Well, I mean, the Steelers were running with Jalen Samuels a lot, but the Patriots were mostly passing the whole day. I think what you can look at that is it wasn't like they were, like it wasn't like the Patriots were overlooking Sony Michel in favor of anyone else. It was just they weren't looking at the running game at all.
Let's talk about Jalen Samuels for a second.
Really. I told you guys he's good.
I think I could run in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
At this point, it's a system running back team. Like,
I think I could
get in
there and still
get
100 yards on the ground.
Le'Veon has no leverage.
If you look back to week one when we were talking about James Conner and whether you should start him or not, I made the point, like, listen, when Le'Veon Bell missed a couple games the past couple years, D'Angelo Williams balled out. So this is a system running back team. Now, obviously, I didn't expect James Conner to have a Pro Bowl year like he did. But yeah, this team is very conducive to running backs. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Le'Veon's value is steadily declining.
I was just saying that. With every good backup running back that comes in there, his value takes a hit by a couple million.
Let's see if we can get Stephen Ridley to have those numbers this week. No reason in particular, just to see if another guy can do it.
Hey, well, I'd be okay with that because that would mean
James
Conner doesn't get any look, and I'm playing against him in my championship this weekend.
I'm more than ready to step in and see, you know, whether the experiment works. Put me in Mike Tomlin. I got this.
Yeah.
Last night, massive matchup with huge NFC playoff implications. Saints edge out the Panthers 12-9.
Once again, the Saints did not put up many offensive points.
No, the Saints did not put up many offensive points, did not look strong on offense.
Good on defense.
Although,
the Panthers also
looked bad
on defense.
Did you guys hear about the historic offensive performance last night, though?
What about it?
So, Christian McCaffrey became the first player since 1983 to record 50 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, and 50 receiving yards in one game.
That's
crazy, isn't it?
I think Walter Payton was the last one to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
I do
it's
think
like
it's interesting. You talk about Christian McCaffrey throwing passing. Christian McCaffrey, touchdown pass, 50-yard touchdown pass.
That one play, he had more points than Cam Newton.
Right. The only the only points the Carolina Panthers were able to score last night were on a trick play and on an interception return on a two-point conversion. Those
Guys,
were the
Cam
only
Newton
points they were able to play.
Garbage.
Only
he could not throw the ball. If you look at all of Cam Newton's passes, any ball more than 4 yards downfield, I'm not even kidding, 4 yards downfield was horribly inaccurate.
16
Either way
for
overthrew
29.
People, way behind people, way in front of people. He was just, the only success he had throwing the ball were short dump offs to Christian McCaffrey. That was it. He was awful.
16
was so
for
bad.
29, 131 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. That is bad.
So, question for you guys. I have a decision to make this week because I've been on the Cam's a must starter every week, regardless of matchup, all year kind of basis. He's the number 5 overall fantasy quarterback this year. So,
not lately, though.
Yeah. So, my question is, do I start Cam Newton at home versus Atlanta, or do I start Ben Roethlisberger at New Orleans?
I go Big Ben. Cam is just
At New Orleans,
get you that goal
the
line
defense
touchdown.
Is pretty good recently.
That's
too.
A really tough question, to be honest.
I mean, Big Ben's not bad either. He's 3, so I mean, I guess it wouldn't be that bad of an alternative. But
I guess at this point, it's just anyone but Cam. He's just his passing gives you absolutely nothing, unless he's passing to McCaffrey and McCaffrey makes something happen and gets him. Like, unless Cam passes it to him and he falls ass backwards into a 30-yard catch and run, then I don't think I just don't think he's getting you anything.
He's done pretty well. It's just like you just said. I feel like I was watching that game and getting pissed because he wasn't passing it to Christian McCaffrey. He was literally like, McCaffrey's, all of his plays were runs. He had a few catches, but
I just find it crazy that the only points the Panthers were able to score were on a trick play for midfield on a fourth down in the first quarter and a two-point conversion interception return.
Well, they had a couple red zone turnovers, the two, didn't they? I know they had one in the second half.
Yeah.
They might have had another one. But, yeah, they didn't. They moved the ball a little bit. It's not like they had a ton of three and outs, but, yeah, they just – Cam is – he's a liability throwing the ball.
I don't know if it's his shoulder injury or what.
I apologize. Yeah. I just looked. Right. McCaffrey had 8 catches, so he did get targeted.
Eight catches for 67 yards. Longest was 22.
But nobody else really got targets, so bottom line, Cam is not great in the passing game.
Right. Wright got 3 targets. Thomas got 2. Moore got 2. Samuel got 1. Manhurts got... Oh, I'm sorry, those are catches.
Manhurts' 150-yard catch was from McCaffrey, so...
Yeah, exactly.
The longest pass that Cam Newton had of the night was 22 yards, and that was probably a dump-off where McCaffrey ran 20
of
those
It was a
yards.
22-yard McCaffrey
exactly.
scamper.
Yeah, last night was the most... Not even kidding, this was the most stressful fantasy game I've ever watched in my life, because it was in my 2-week championship matchup that I think I sent you guys a picture for. So the final score ended up being 259.3 to 258.
I don't know if you remember the matchup that I just explained.
No. But, like, so I came into it, and I only had Will Lutz, and my opponent had McCaffrey and Kamara. So on both sides of the ball, I was sitting there screaming at my TV, anyone but McCaffrey or Kamara. And sure enough, all the time, they would get those little dump-off passes. And this is a full point per reception. So there were at least three plays that I saw where Kamara would catch the ball out of the backfield but get stuffed. And I'd think, my first thought would be, oh, great, negative 4 yards, this is good. But then I'm like, well, shit, it's still a one-point reception, so he still gained points on this even though the team lost yards.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just like I was up 50 points coming into the night, and I was just slowly seeing my lead dwindle and dwindle and dwindle until the last possession I was up by, like, 3.5, and the Panthers get the ball after that turnover. And sure enough, Cam goes straight back to McCaffrey because he can't throw the ball more than 4 yards downfield because his shoulder's terrible or can't throw or something. And thank God they didn't go back to him because I only ended up winning by 1.3. So if I lost on a 4 yard dump off to McCaffrey, I would have thrown my chair through the window.
We saw some rare plays in that game. We saw a halfback pass go for a touchdown, like we said. We saw a 2-point conversion attempt intercepted and ran back for a 2-point conversion the other way, like we said. We saw a fumble through the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, on that wheel route.
So a lot of wacky stuff, but.
So let's move on to the.
But yes,
the
it
feature
has a lot
matchup
of
the week.
It has a lot of NFC playoff implications, which we will cover after this matchup.
Yes,
the biggest of the week, biggest of the season. People were complaining that this game did not get flexed out of Sunday Night Football, and look what they got.
Wait, were you using the word biggest just because of the quarterback?
What?
Were you intentionally using the word biggest game just because of the quarterback's
nickname?
I was
not, but we're going to get there. The Philadelphia Eagles go into L.A., host a home game in L.A. Where you at, Rams fans? 30-23, Eagles beat the Rams. And boy, did Nick Foles look good. Big Dick Nick had his big dick out and swinging. Nick's over here mimicking it, but man, did they look good. Nick Foles, 24 for 31, 270 yards, and 160 of them going to Alshon Jeffrey, who was finally getting involved. Now, before we go any further, I believe that last week on the playoffs, I said very specifically Alshon Jeffrey's value goes way up with Nick Foles, and you guys said he wasn't worth starting.
I said none of them were.
8 catches and 160 yards for Alshon Jeffrey.
I didn't specifically call him out. I said none of those wide receivers do I trust.
And I said it was Alshon, and you guys said no.
Yeah, Hungy, you've also been wrong about a lot of things this year.
3 touchdowns on the ground for the Eagles, which was new. 2 from Wendell Smallwood, 1 from Josh Adams, who got banged up in the process. But as a committee, over 100 yards on the ground for the Eagles, which I think really showed the balance in the game plan. On the other side of the ball, Goff did not look good. 35 for 53. 339 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. Now, 339 yards looks good, but 35 for 53?
Yeah, he had to throw the ball 53 times in order to get that.
Right. Gurley wasn't producing. Now, Gurley got banged up a little bit, but he
still
came back
him.
In the game. Right.
Yeah,
12 carries for 48 yards and 2 touchdowns. The 2 touchdowns were from inside the 5-yard line.
I get so annoyed with them. As a Todd Gurley owner, I get so annoyed that they don't use him more on, like, checkdowns. In, like, passing plays.
Well, he got 10 catches for 76 yards. So
he finds space. Like, I think 2 of those he got stuffed at the line, but the rest of the yards came on, like, 8 catches. So he finds space in, like, from the line of scrimmage, gets those yards after catch.
But,
Not like Cam Newton's yards after catch, Jason.
Honestly, Goff did not... Yeah. Goff did not impress anybody in that win. Or that loss.
He's been real
touchdowns.
Slow the past couple weeks.
0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think the last 3 weeks he's been, ever since out of the bye, they've just been really slow as an offense in general.
And the interception that Goff threw against the Eagles was one of the most, well, I guess one of them counts as an interception, one of them counts as a fumble. He threw the interception that got picked off by Avante Maddox in one of the most athletic interceptions I've seen so far this season, across the board for any team. Mm-hmm. But the other one, I guess they are calling it a fumble. I feel like his arm was going forward, so they should have called it a pick, but it doesn't matter. The most egregious turnover a quarterback has committed so far this season. Bad snap. Goff is on the ground.
It's just like fall on it, dude. They teach you that in peewee football.
He's on his knees. No one touches him, so he stands back up, sees four defenders in his face, and tries to like do something with the football. Loses it, and it drops into the hands of Corey Graham going the opposite direction.
He tries to blindly throw an incomplete pass to one of his targets, but he doesn't really pick a target, and he also was getting hit at the same time. So it kind of just dropped into an Eagles player's hands.
Yes. So, really, really wild. Honestly, probably the best we've seen the Eagles defense play so far this season, hands down. They did an absolutely phenomenal job in a ridiculously banged up secondary right now. Some of these starters in the secondary included names like Cravon LeBlanc and Rasul Douglas, who played his heart out. Avante Maddox, rookie, not expected to start, also playing cornerback when he was drafted as a safety. So,
I will say, I think that obviously you still got to start Todd Gurley if you have him, but yeah. If you have Jared Goff and you've been starting him, you might want to look at your backup quarterback. You know, it's been a couple bad weeks in a row for him. So,
yep.
Don't live in the past on this one.
So, which brings us to, obviously, we spent a little bit of time last week on Foles versus Wentz. It's going to be the narrative. Honestly, it doesn't matter how far the Eagles go this year. It doesn't matter. It's going to be the narrative for the next 6 months. Foles versus Wentz.
Do you think they get to the playoffs?
I do. I honestly do think that they get to the playoffs.
Jason, let me ask you. Jason, do you think the Eagles are going to get to the playoffs?
I think it's conceivable.
That's the better answer.
Yeah, it's not this, you know, I think the Cleveland Browns are still technically alive, but it's like this ridiculous, like,
the Eagles are a half game back out of the wild card.
Yeah, no, it's not like this ridiculous circumstances of like this team has to lose and that team has to win and that team has to win this game but not this game. It's just very simple. Like, you win both games, Cowboys lose one game, you're in. So it's I think that's what it is, right?
So if they, all right, so we'll go. But either way, it's really simple.
So it's not like anything crazy, and it's not saying like oh, the Eagles have to beat.
We'll go over the Patriots and the Chiefs. Let's get back to Foles.
The Redskins are on this list, so it's not exactly like a difficult matchup there.
We'll get to the scenarios in a minute, but Foles Wentz is the more pressing issue.
I think that I mean, Wentz is obviously your quarterback. He's the better quarterback, but
right.
Sometimes you need a spark, and sometimes switching it up is the spark that you need. So,
one of the things that Foles did night before, that Wentz hasn't done for most of the season, is spread the ball out. Foles targeted, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different wide receivers. Or 8 different targets. Not all of them wide receivers, were running backs, but Foles targeted 8 different people, whereas once the majority of the targets go to Zach Ertz. And I love the fact that he's that confident in Ertz, but Alshon Jeffery is a one receiver on any team. You've got him there, use him. Golden Tate is a super slot receiver. If you've got him, use him. You've got Darren Sproles back, probably the best screen pass running back in the league other than McCaffrey. Use him. It's just the way I see it. Is it full spread the ball around, and the Eagles established a running game. When you establish the running game, you take the ball, or you take the pressure out of the quarterback's hands. In this case, it was Foles, and it let Foles excel. With Wentz, they haven't really established running game in many different games, and it really puts the pressure on Wentz to get the job done.
30 team rushes
for 111 yards. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I think this can be traced back to? I think it honestly goes back to Doug Peterson, and it's why I think he is, and it's going back to what I was talking about with Mike McCarthy, where I think Doug Peterson is one of those coaches Where no, where he caters to his players' talents.
No,
it's not
no,
like
no, no,
he
no, no,
lays
no, no.
down.
You got that.
No, it's not like he's laying down an offense and saying, okay, player X is doing this, player Y, like whoever is in there. Like he looked at Foles succeeded in, what was it, 2015, because he was running the run pass option and the spread and that kind of thing and spreading the ball around. So he's catering his offense to that skill set rather than just putting an offense out there and subbing in a guy.
I disagree. I think it was the exact same offense he ran with Wentz. What I think the difference was, I think Wentz has a lot of freedom to change the play at the line of scrimmage. And he'll see a look and he'll change it into an RPO to Ertz. It got to the point where Wentz would change it into an RPO. He wouldn't even look at the point to hand it off. He just expected to throw a slant to Ertz every time. The linebackers stopped biting on the handoff because they knew Ertz was coming right at them on a slant, so they stayed home. And it stopped working. With Foles, I think they ran the exact same plays, but when Doug called the run, they ran the football. I think that was the difference maker, is that Foles wasn't up there trying to arrange things at the line of scrimmage. Foles ran the game plan Doug drew out, and I don't think Doug changed the game plan. I think the game plan was the same that it's been since week three when Wentz came back. I just think Foles ran the offense differently than Wentz did. I think that's going to be a factor going forward. But what does the win mean for the playoff scenario? Well, the Eagles are still alive. The Rams did not secure home field advantage, one seed, first round bye, etc. What it means is
Rams are tied.
As of right now,
right.
Do you have it up?
Yes,
I got it coming up. What it means right now,
the Rams are one game behind.
Right. The Rams are now a game behind the Saints. And the Carolina loss to the Saints means that the Eagles are a game up on the Carolina Panthers. Right now, Dallas has the three divisions of the NFC are locked. It's just seeding for those three. New Orleans has won the South, Rams have won the West, Chicago's won the North. The Eagles are still alive in the race for the East. Technically, so are the Redskins, but it's not going to happen.
No.
Eagles are still alive in the race for the East. Seattle has the 5 seed at 8-6. Minnesota has the 6 seed at 7-6-1. Eagles are 7-7. Redskins are 7-7. Carolina is 6-8. So, for things to get switched up here. For the Eagles to win the NFC East, they would need two wins against Houston and then the Redskins. And they would need two Cowboys losses against Tampa Bay and the Giants. Eagles would win the NFC East at that point because the Cowboys are 2-0 in the head-to-head. For the wild card to get switched up, one of the ways the Eagles could make it would be if the Eagles won their last two games, like we said, Houston and Washington, and Minnesota lost one of the two against Chicago or Detroit. Detroit then Chicago, I think. So
that's, which either of those are very possible.
Right, either of those are extremely possible. I'm counting the Eagles' win against Washington, so I'm eliminating Washington right now. if the Eagles
I don't know
drop,
if a fourth string, third or fourth string quarterback is really going to win a division there.
Right, I'm kind of counting Seattle to keep the 5 seed here, but for Carolina to make it to the playoffs, they would need a Minnesota loss. Sorry, they would need two Minnesota losses, and they would need a Washington loss and an Eagles loss. So they would need the Eagles to go 1-1 against Houston and then Washington, and Carolina would need to win out against Atlanta and then New Orleans again. They play New Orleans again in 2 weeks. So Carolina's got a long shot at that point.
Yeah, they really needed to win this past week.
Right, and I'm just examining.
Given the way they're playing anyway, their trajectory does not look good anyway.
They out.
I'm just looking at all of the NFC wildcard scenarios, because there really are a lot.
Yeah.
If the Eagles lose to Houston this upcoming week, if Minnesota wins, if the Eagles lose to Houston, they would need...
I think there's too many things to go on. We need to revisit this next week.
Right, if the Eagles lose to Houston, they need two Minnesota losses, a Carolina loss, and they need to beat Washington the following week. So they would need Minnesota to lose out.
I think the most important thing to note about the playoff scenario is that neither the Saints nor the Rams have clinched, and they both play at 4 o'clock. So you don't have to worry about the Saints clinching before the Rams play, and then the Rams... Or vice versa.
This is this upcoming week?
Yes. They both play at the 4 o'clock slot, so they will both be trying. So,
but
hopefully you're a Week 16 championship league and not a 17 one.
But it's crazy. The NFC playoff scenario, even though three teams are locked already, you get a lot of moving parts down from seeds 4 through 9 right now.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over. Now, but this upcoming week, I picked out a couple matchups. I picked up four matchups that obviously have major fantasy, or not fantasy, just NFL playoff.
Major impact, absolutely.
So I figured we would kind of pick the winners from the games, just all of us, and kind of see how we do next week in the big playoff games. So the first one we got up is Ravens at L.A. Chargers. Melvin Gordon is expected to be back right now.
Is he? Yes. So you've got the best...
I'm going to say Chargers. They're riding off the high, beating the Chiefs, you know?
Yes.
I think they'll take it.
It's in the soccer stadium.
You always refer to it as just the soccer stadium.
Soccer stadium. Vegas is giving the Chargers 4.5 here. Or I'm sorry, they're giving the Ravens 4.5. It's Chargers minus 4.5. I kind of like the Ravens in this one. They got the best.
You're gonna pick them?
Yeah, they got the best run defense in the league. I think, like, the second-best pass defense in the league. And I think Phillip Rivers struggles. He came off a big win against Kansas City. But Kansas City's defense is not Baltimore's defense. So I'm going to take the Ravens in this one.
I like the Chargers. I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL right now. Phillip Rivers is on fire. I like them at home. They are... 5-2 at home, as opposed to the Ravens, despite how good their defense is, they are 3-4 away. So I know you know that you say that home field doesn't really affect them too much, but they still perform. So whether the crowd is cheering for them or not, they're still winning games. So
soccer stadium.
I like the Chargers.
Yeah, they're riding that high. They're on a good streak here.
Big shout out LA Galaxy.
Hey, Zlatan's right. Coming back again next year.
Next game we have up, Houston Texans at Philadelphia Eagles. I think I can already just fill yours in, Matt.
Oh, I will be there, and you better believe the link is going to be rocking. It's going to be one of the loudest games all season long. I don't think that Deshaun Watson is ready. Hopkins is banged up. Lamar Miller did not have a good game last week.
Lamar Miller got injured on the first series.
Right. So,
it looks like he might be out this week as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think Alfred Blue's getting the start.
I think it's going to be a head turner when the Eagles take this game and are one win away from securing a playoff spot. So, I pick the Eagles and I pick them solidly.
Man, what time is the game?
It is a 1 o'clock game.
Ooh, okay. I might have to make a venture down to Xfinity just to see the atmosphere there.
Oh, come tailgate. I'll be down there.
Hell yeah. I'm sure Kevin's always down for that.
So
do it. Ride the
Jason?
Train in with me in the morning. It'll be great. We'll figure that out after the show. But
yeah, for sure.
We'll post things on the Fantasy Process Report Twitter, at @PPR_official, and you can see Jason and I fairly lit at the Eagles tailgate.
And you guys are going
to
actually post.
Yeah, being in the same state for the first time in months might need to be documented.
Anyway, continuing.
Who you pick, Jason? Texans, Eagles, in Philly.
You know, I feel like this... this might be a trap for like an Eagles fan, because you're like riding off the high of Nick Foles coming back and beating the Rams, and then you're just like, this just seems like one of those games where they're just like, you know, all the players are getting the underdog masks and the ski masks or whatever, and like it just seems like they're always already looking past it, you know?
No,
like,
one's looking past it.
I just get that feeling that like people are like looking past it and they're like, oh, we got this. It's happening.
You
again.
Are.
We're doing it. You know.
I'm not looking past it. This is a huge
like,
game.
Just,
but they're hyping
I feel like
the
this could
game
be a trap.
Up. They're not hyping
yeah.
the season up. They're hyping the game up. The scheme.
I know. I just,
you tell me that the underdog mask didn't work last season.
Oh, they did. They did. I just think
that's
it's
the ski
mask. People are. Well, that's because the underdog was like that thing last year. It was like, you know, one game at a time, like.
That's what the,
out,
that's the whole
like,
point of the ski mask, is that it's Robin season.
I'm sure it wasn't the fact that he was just, like, cold.
No, they've been doing
that
for 3 weeks
too.
Now.
It's been cold for
or
3 weeks.
Or maybe he's, like,
they
he's,
wore
like,
it in the dome in New Orleans. Do you want to try that one again?
I think he's actually just,
cold.
Like,
they could keep the temperature down.
They wore
advocating
it in the dome
for people to just start robbing banks and stuff.
In Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the dog mask is a little bit better of a look.
It's ski mask season. They're bank robbers. We're about to rob the season. It's time.
I think you guys are going to be
the
ones
thing
getting
is,
robbed. We'll see.
The funny thing is, working in baseball stadiums and stuff, ski masks are actually against like fan like dress codes, I guess you could say. So the Eagles might be making an exception this weekend, but usually most stadiums do not allow you to wear ski masks into the stadium.
Didn't they have to make an exception with the dog masks?
I'm pretty sure they did that as well, yeah. But
the
most
Eagles
stadiums,
as a team tell the fans to do something, the team is not going to tell them no.
Yeah, the team is going to adjust. But I just think it's funny how like that's one of the exact examples that like most stadiums are like, yeah, you're not allowed to wear that in here.
So you got Texans, Jason, is that what the final?
Yeah, but I don't feel good about it. Like, I honestly think it could go very, like, if you gave me a negative... Like, if you gave me a half-point spread, like, one way or the other, I don't know if I would know who to pick. Like, I just think it's going to be really, really close.
I think the Houston Texans win, and Deshaun Watson leads a final drive in the last 2 minutes of the game to take the lead.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
So,
I don't know. I think this is one of those stages where an inexperienced defense could, like, the secondary could really get tripped up and let up a kind of backbreaker.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Jason and I are in together on the first two. Let's go to the next one here. We got Pittsburgh Steelers at New Orleans Saints. Which one of you guys wants to take the lead on this one?
And it's in
New
Orleans?
At New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, in a Superdome, you want to take New Orleans, but it's hard when the offense has been struggling so much the past couple weeks. I mean, they had that dud against the Cowboys, and then they had... not much of anything yesterday. Drew Brees has not looked like Drew Brees, and you want to take New Orleans, but you just... I think I will take New Orleans. I just don't feel good about it.
I'm going to take New Orleans. I think a lot of the success that the Steelers had in this past week's game was due to the fact that they were in Pittsburgh. Superdome is still a tough place to play. New Orleans is still trying to play for a first-round bye.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the Saints take it.
I really want to pick the Saints. I think that they're the more logical option.
You're struggling.
Wow.
I am struggling.
I mean, it is that dilemma where you have the Steelers who have been playing pretty well. The defense shut out the Patriots this past week. And then you also have the Saints who have been kind of struggling as the past couple weeks on offense. So it's like you're kind of going the trends here. But then that Superdome is just that trump card where you just – it's like it's such a huge advantage. So it's hard to pick against that.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I got to go with the – Saints, just because of the home field advantage on this one.
Saints across the board.
Yeah.
You know what that means? It means the Steelers want to win the game.
Probably, but...
That's exactly it.
Alright, so the last one that we got here is going to be the Chiefs at the Seattle Seahawks. Another good defense for the Chiefs at the end of the year here.
In Seattle.
in Seattle.
It's true. I mean, I've seen some statistics that the Seattle pass defense hasn't been amazing, so this is a secondary that Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey can exploit.
Oh, the Legion of Boom's gone. I mean, there's no...
Yeah,
there's no
they've gotten... Like, Bobby Wagner is a stud middle linebacker, and they've had a couple good, you know, cornerback pieces that they've drafted this year who have done a lot better than most people expected. But, yeah, I think it's one of those ones where Tyreek Hill and Kelsey could both have some big days, but I'm worried that the Seahawks will kind of plan for that and just not even paying attention to the run. Because now that Hunt is gone, I mean, Williams had a big day last week, but I think you could say a lot of that was just a couple short touchdowns and then a lot of work in the passing game. So I don't think they're going to pay much attention to the running game here. But I still pick the Chiefs anyway. I just don't think you can stop that offense. And then I don't think the Seahawks can keep up with it.
I love Russ.
But I don't think they can keep up with that.
I'm on the same page. I'm taking Kansas City. I think the offense is too explosive. And I, like you said, I don't think that Seattle's offense is going to be able to outscore the Seahawks. But, Nick, you look like you disagree.
I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks. I think that the Chiefs are probably the better better team. But this one being on the road, I think that the Chiefs might be kind of overlooking them. They just lost to the Chargers, so that might be a little bit of a reality check, but the Chargers were a very good team, so I think the Chiefs might go into this game and underestimate them a little bit. At home, Seattle's a very tough place to play. I'm sure you guys know that. They're 4-2 at home this year, and Russ seems to be clicking a little bit more with Doug Baldwin and the rest of the receivers there. I know that they are a primarily running heavy team, so you're going to be focused more on that from the offensive side, but they've been really managing games recently with that run game. So I like the home underdogs in this one, Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
The home dogs.
Well, that kind of ends those matchups. That's a good question that you put at the end there. We'll talk about that. We'll go over the Pro Bowl rosters real quick.
Okay. I noted that this week we have one of the worst possible Monday night matchups.
Now,
week 17, we don't have all the games are Sunday. So
are Sunday, and they flex the most meaningful into Sunday night. So, remains to be seen which game that'll be. We'll probably...
I'll tell you what, though. It won't be the Denver Broncos versus the Oakland Raiders like this Monday night game is.
Okay, they make the Monday night schedule before the season starts, and that doesn't change. They don't flex the Monday night games.
I know, but... Does this really look like a good end-of-the-season matchup?
Okay, nobody knew what a Gruden team was going to do here.
I guess
I think
that's
you
kind of
had a feeling what a Case Keenum team was going to do, though.
I don't think we did. I thought he was going to have success, but
I don't know.
They still got 9 more years out of him. So,
well, that's my thing. Is I think he will be successful, but I don't think it's
not this year.
I didn't see it happening this year.
Yeah, it is a bad team, but
Philip Lindsay should eat.
Yeah,
he should have a good rebound game. So if you got him,
yeah,
hopefully he will.
He did not eat last week.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be leading you on Monday night to that championship.
So, Pro Bowl rosters came out pretty much right at the same time we started this show. So we'll kind of look at those real quick. Three teams did not have a single selection. Those teams are the Bills, Buccaneers, and Raiders.
I thought you were going to say Giants for a second.
Nope. Bills, Buccaneers, and Raiders.
I was going to say, Saquon got robbed.
Saquon made the Pro Bowl.
I'm just in my head trying to think of any possible options for any of those three teams.
For which teams?
The Bills, Bucks, and... I mean, the Bucks, you could make a case for Mike Evans.
That would be it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that might be
nobody really stayed healthy or played.
Well, I guess, and on the Bills too, the cornerback Tre'Davious Wright White, I can't remember his last name, but Tre'Davious something, the cornerback, he's been really good this year too. But yeah, the Raiders have absolutely nothing. There's nothing anywhere.
If Josh Allen was healthy all year, he might have been able to make an argument.
Yeah, I mean, the greatest running quarterback of all time deserves to make a Pro Bowl.
Calm down there.
He had another rushing touchdown this week. He did. He only had 16 yards, but he had another rushing touchdown. I don't know where this came from. He's actually, I was looking at the stats, he's leading all of the NFL quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns, and he's second in yards behind Lamar Jackson.
I recommended to one of our Twitter followers this past week to start Josh Allen over Mitchell Trubisky. I said I gave him the slight edge, and he outscored Trubisky by like 1.5 points, so nailed it.
How slight was that?
Anyway, Pro Bowl rosters. Here we go. So for the AFC...
quarterbacks. Let's go through a little bit quick because we're
going to... Yes, we're going to go through it quick. Quarterback, starter Patrick Mahomes, backup Philip Rivers, Tom Brady. Running back...
Brady should be out of there. Fuck that.
Running back, James Conner, starting. Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, backing up.
Philip Lindsay made it. Good for him, man.
How about that, man?
Fullback, Anthony Sherman from Kansas City.
It should be Devlin.
It should be Devlin, but it's not.
Yeah, Devlin, they didn't start using him until about 3 weeks ago, so...
Also, how much do you want to bet Philip Lindsay is only in there because Kareem Hunt is no longer in the NFL?
That makes sense.
That's probably fair. Wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill both starting, Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen backing up.
Yep, no, sounds about right.
Keenan Allen got hurt, though. He might be having to get replaced, so...
Offensive tackles, Taylor Lewan from the Titans, he's a boss, and Alejandro Villanueva from the Steelers with Eric Fisher from the Chiefs backing up.
I think Alejandro Villanueva is also a former Marine.
He is. He's an Army Ranger.
Yeah, that's what it was. He spent like 2 or 3 tours in Afghanistan and then came over. Like he's an incredible story.
Yes, this is not new news. David DeCastro, Pittsburgh Steelers, Marshall Yanda, Baltimore Ravens starting at guard with Quentin Nelson from the Colts backing him up. Marquise Pouncey from the Steelers starting at center. Mike Pouncey, his brother, starting as backing him up from the Chargers.
That's 2 years in a row that those two both made it.
That is really cool.
Yeah, because Mike used to be with the Dolphins for a while, so they were both making Pro Bowls for a couple years there.
On the defense for the AFC, J.J. Watt and Myles Garrett are the defensive ends with Melvin Ingram backing them up. Defensive tackles are Geno Atkins and Jarrell Casey with Cameron Hayward backing them up.
Did you say tight ends?
I did. Did I? Travis Kelce starting for the AFC with Eric Ebron backing him up. I guess I didn't say
Eric
that.
Ebron.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey.
Nick, if you're looking at the rest of the AFC tight ends, there's really no one else that... would be like Gronk is not in there, and then the other best tight ends are all in the NFC.
I guess so.
Outside linebacker for the AFC is Von Miller and Jadeveon Clowney, with D Ford backing them up. Inside linebacker CJ Mosley and Bernardrick McKinney.
Okay.
Cornerbacks for the AFC include Xavien Howard and Jalen Ramsey as starters, with Stephon Gilmore and Denzel Ward backing them up.
Denzel Ward, he's had a year.
Side note, I want to say I'm glad that they do NFC and AFC.
The back to this. I liked the fantasy draft for a couple years, but I like this back to basics.
Agree.
Free safety, Derwin James with Eric Weddle as the backup. Strong safety, Jamal Adams from the Jets. No backup listed. Interesting. Special teams, the kicker is Jason Myers from the Jets.
Didn't somebody say that he should be fired in our group chat this past week because he missed one or two?
Something like that. The long snapper is to be named by the coach.
Interesting.
I've never seen that before. The punter is Brett Kern from the Tennessee Titans.
Don't know who that is.
Interesting selection. The returner is Andre Roberts from the Jets. The special teamer is Adrian Phillips from the Chargers.
What is a special teamer?
Usually you get one player that has excelled on special teams. Chris Maragos has made it a couple times from the Eagles. Camus Grugier-Hill made it for the Eagles last year.
Are they good at tackling or coverage? Or what?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. They make a number
of plays. Yeah, it's just like
kickoff
returns, blocking, or kick or like punt, you know, attacking like the punt returner, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so it's,
got it.
Yeah, kind of that, like, it's not really offense or defense, but like they're still an impactful player on the team.
For the NFC, starting at quarterback, Drew Brees.
Obviously.
With Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers.
Goff made it because
of the
start of the season.
As number two.
Well, Goff just kind of stumbled. Like, he started off the year really, really good, and then, like, right as they hit their bye, like, week 12, he just, like, started falling apart.
Stumbling.
The first 11 weeks, he was real good.
Have you seen the video of that guy falling on the ice, like, trying to maintain his balance for, like,
yes.
That's what Goff is doing right now.
Yeah, just barely staying up, but not looking good.
Running backs for the NFC, Todd Gurley is the starter with Saquon and Zeke backing him up. Ooh. Fullback is Kyle Juszczyk from the 49ers. Wide receivers are Julio Jones and Michael Thomas with Adam Thielen and Devontae Adams. Tight end.
Yeah, Devontae had an amazing year.
Tight end is Zach Ertz with George Kittle as backup.
Right.
Offensive tackle, Tyron Smith and Terron Armstead with Trent Williams as the backup. Guard Zach Martin and Brandon Brooks with Trey Turner as the backup. Center is Alex Mack with Max Unger as the backup. And on the defense, at defensive end, Cameron Jordan and DeMarcus Lawrence with Danielle Hunter as backup. Did not get a starting nod, Danielle Hunter.
Wow.
That surprises me. Defensive tackles are Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox with Akeem Hicks as backup.
Aaron Donald might be the biggest surprise there. I didn't think he deserved it at all.
What a scary defense.
Yeah, really. Outside linebackers are Khalil Mack and Ryan Kerrigan with Anthony Barr as the backup.
Holy shit.
Yeah, this is just, I'm trembling listening to this defense.
Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald.
Inside linebackers are Luke Kuechly with Bobby Wagner. The cornerbacks are Kyle Fuller, Patrick Peterson with Darius Slay and Byron Jones. The free safety is Eddie Jackson with Harrison Smith. The strong safety is Landon Collins.
The secondary's all right, but that front
Oh
my god. That
Jesus
is a
Christ.
Scary, like, for a quarterback to look at those people, that is scary.
I mean, if you look at the line alone, Donald commands a double team. Khalil Mack demands a double team. That leaves one offensive lineman for, like, two other guys.
If I was to tell you guys to guess the NFC kicker, who would you guess?
Greg Zuerlein?
You would think, right?
Lutz.
Lutz.
Is it Lutz?
Lutz is a good guess. Zuerlein's a good guess.
It's neither of them?
It's neither of them.
Matt Bryant.
No. You are not going to guess it. You are not going to guess it. I can promise you that.
Not Dan Bailey.
No.
Oh, is it the Dallas kicker?
It is not Brett Maher. It is not Brett Maher.
Aldrick Rosas.
It is Aldrick Rosas.
What?
From the New York Giants in the most surprising Pro Bowl kicker start I've ever seen.
Wow, we got two players.
Long snapper still to be named by coach. I don't know when that started, but the punter, again, who would you think the punter would be?
Hecker?
You would think.
It's not the Rams.
It's not. It's not Hecker. And
is it like J.K. Scott for the Packers?
No.
Man, I couldn't
it's
even
not
tell you.
Cam Johnston for the Eagles. Who it really should be Cam Johnston, but it's Michael Dixon from Seattle.
He's probably had to punt a lot this year.
Yeah, probably.
The returner for the NFC is Tariq Cohen. The special teamer is Corey Littleton from the Rams.
Oh, Cohen got in there. Good for him.
He got in there as a returner.
Yeah, still.
Which I'm sure they will probably let him play at
running
back.
Yeah, exactly.
But he got in as a returner. Tom Brady makes his 14th Pro Bowl this year.
Bullshit.
Yeah, really.
Average.
Do
you want to know a mind-boggling baseball stat? At one point, Cal Ripken Jr. made 15 straight All-Star games. Consecutive.
Yeah, well.
How many NBA
Cal
All-Star
Ripken's
games has Junior's LeBron James made? Consecutively. I think LeBron James has made every All-Star game of his career so far.
I don't know. It's just like, it's one of those things where it's bullshit that some guys just make it in based off their name.
Well, the Pro Bowl is a popularity contest.
Which objectively is exactly what happened to Rodgers this year.
Yeah.
I think you could make the case that Matt Ryan had a better year than him.
But, some interesting names on that list. We can dive into the Pro Bowl as it gets, you know, closer to that date.
There won't be much left to talk about at that point.
No, it'll still be a week to go to the Super Bowl. We'll talk about the Pro
right.
Bowl a little bit. It's before the Super Bowl now. It's in Orlando.
Stupid.
So you know a number of those players are not going to go to the Pro Bowl because they'll either have lost the week before and choose not to go, or they'll be playing the week after.
We'll let you know who the fillers are.
Hey, who knows? I might go to the Pro Bowl.
I did go a couple years back, and I honestly, I didn't know what to expect. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed
it. Go.
It was the first year they went back to AFC-NFC. I was lucky enough that my family came down to Florida to meet me down there. We sat row one on the NFC tunnel in the end zone.
Man, so wild. We
were on the NFC tunnel. Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, and Darren Sproles had all made it to the Pro Bowl that year. So I got to see all them. It was really cool. Jason Kelce pointed at me in the stands. I booed Odell Beckham Jr.
And then
from
your heart
10
melted.
Feet away. It was a lot of fun. I will say that the Pro Bowl in Orlando is probably one of the best things. The practices are free to go to at the Disney Wide World of Sports.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not too, I don't think it's too far away from me either. I mean, it's, you know, Florida's a long state, but I think it's only maybe like 3 or 4 hours. So it's
Orlando's
not,
Orlando's probably between 4 and 5 for you.
Yeah, so it's not like horrible, you know.
But no, I do highly recommend it if you get the opportunity to go to the Pro Bowl. I did. I thought it was a lot of fun. I would recommend it to anybody who loves football. Because all of a sudden it was competitive. We saw a lot of stuff happen that game. Both teams were trying, which was...
Well, I think even aside from that, like, just seeing all the stars, I think probably what I would guess is better is just, like, all the pre-game festivities and stuff of, like, you know, the theatrics and, like, the... I'm trying to think of the word. Like, the kind of festivities of it, like, leading up to it, you know? Like, you have the skills competitions and you have, like, different events going on and stuff, and then I think the game starts and it's just kind of like, okay, you see a bunch of guys running around. Like, I mean, I obviously haven't seen it, but I wouldn't imagine that it would be a super exciting game.
Yeah, bringing the skills contest back was a good call on the Pro Bowl's part. NFL dodgeball's the best thing ever.
I'm still convinced that the dumbest thing they did was move it before the Super Bowl.
You liked it better
afterward? For sure.
Well, it's just like you're more interested because you know you don't have any more football until
August, that's it. That's
September.
The last one.
That's true.
So it's just kind of like you go into the Pro Bowl now, and it's like, well, I really more care about the Super Bowl, especially you last year.
It's true.
So I don't know, and not to mention the fact that you don't get the best players, the actual best players.
You wouldn't get them. You wouldn't get them the week after the Super Bowl either.
Why not?
If you played in the Super Bowl, you're not playing the next week in the Pro Bowl.
They used to show up.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, the people that played in the Super Bowl would always skip. The people that lost would never want to show up. The people that won are too busy celebrating.
I don't know about that, but I just think that, like I said before, it really, from a rating standpoint, it gives fans one last ounce of football before they have to go months without it.
That's true. The CFL starts in the middle of the summer.
Don't even.
Watch Canadian football.
Don't even.
XFL coming soon, too.
What's Johnny Manziel's number? What's his episode?
Oh, God. Is Johnny Manziel still playing in the CFL?
I think so.
Oh, man.
But who knows?
Who knows, indeed. We're going to find out. We're going to know. But anyway, we'll see you next week after the fantasy season is concluded. On to week 17, where the playoff picture will become slightly clearer, but probably also more muddied. So, if that makes any sense at all, that's where we'll be.
Yeah, you'll either be very hype or very sad based off of the results of this upcoming week.
Well, not necessarily. The Eagles can lose to Houston and still make the playoffs if a number of other things happen.
Well, my point is either you're still going to be alive and you're going to be hyped that you're still alive, or you're going to be eliminated.
It's very true. Fair enough. But for now, follow us on Twitter at @PPR_official. Look for Twitter pictures from Jason and I at South Philadelphia Sports Complex this Sunday.
Love it.
And I think that's pretty much it, unless you guys got anything else.
Yeah. Ready for some championships. Let's go.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff time.
Make some money.
Mm.
It's robbing season. We'll see you next week. Go Birds.